They're moving in. I say we go to DEFCON 4.
Gotta assess this, all right?
What are we, politicians? Does this look like the Senate to you, T? Hey. This is about respect of our thing.
Why don't you shut the fuck up? It doesn't concern you.
Yes, it is. I represent you out there, and I'm tired of putting my tail between my legs. This ain't negotiation time. This is Scarface, final scene, fucking bazookas under each arm. Say hello to my little friend.
Always with the scenarios.
That's right, always with the scenarios. And we got a scenario for you. A couple of guys watch Sopranos every week, and they come and hang out and discuss the episode. Welcome to Cut to Black, or Members Only. I'm Jim Scampoli.
I'm Jacob Burrows, and yeah, what a scenario we got for you, everybody. I'm always wondering when I'm watching it, what clip is Jim gonna pick for this episode? And it's, I mean, you always get it just right. I mean, I don't know if it's the practice of doing Jim and Them where you put audio clips at the top, but it's really like, that really sums up such a great moment of the episode and like the essence of the episode of things ramping up. Because this episode, like we've talked a lot about how good this show is. I'm Jacob Burrows. I've never watched The Sopranos, here with Jim Scampoli, who's watched every episode. And like for me, it's been good, but now it's also exciting. And it hasn't been as exciting over the past episodes necessarily. And now I'm like, shit, what's going to happen? Which is a great feeling to have.
Yes, yeah, things are kind of ramping up. There's some murmurs of like, we're going to go to war. We're going to go to the mattresses, as they say. I believe that's a Godfather quote that they use. But yeah, we're here in episode 4 of season 1, titled Meadowlands. We should say that we will only be discussing spoilers up through this episode. So have no fear if you're like Jacob Burrows, a little toddler who's never seen The Sopranos before.
Yeah.
So don't worry. No worries.
I'm a little 4 years old in Sopranos years, so I'm still getting my bearings, just starting to have my first memories. This is what I'm going to recall for the rest of my life, and it's formative, and it's doing great damage to me, I'm sure. It's called Meadowlands, and he says at the start something like, they took me out to Meadowlands, and I thought that was maybe where he was like being threatened, but I'm not 100%. Do you know why? What the title is?
Yeah, I believe that is an area in New Jersey. Okay. So yeah, that's where they took him out to. As a young lad, I always just assumed it had something to do with Meadow, the daughter. Yeah. But no, it's the Meadowlands. I guess that's what they call their stadium. But the New Jersey Meadowlands, also known as Hackensack, after the primary river flowing through it, a general name for the large ecosystem of wetlands in northern New Jersey. So yeah, like the docks that he was at. In the previous episode, where we do find out that there are some murmurs that maybe he did shit himself. I kind of let that go last week by accident, although they do hint at it, because, yeah, when they take Christopher out to the docks and the Russians pull the trigger and it goes click, he soils his pants, as people would do. But if you're a tough guy like Chris, you don't want anyone to know that.
Everyone knows that, though. That's the rough part for him, I feel. That's why he wants to bring out the bazookas, most of it. I mostly know Hackensack from the Fountains of Wayne song, so I'm glad you're here to straighten these things out for me.
Oh, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So let's start getting into the details of the episode. It starts with a nightmare that Tony's having, and it's clear kind of quickly, like someone walks past the window, and that's when we know it's a nightmare or a dream, but it's got a very specific sort of dreamlike vibe anyway, to the point where it even ends on kind of a cliche where his mother is the therapist. Like, it's so on the nose, but hey, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause it's even when before you see Hesh like go by the window, it does just seem like, oh, something seems a little off. Cause they're just sitting there like kind of staring at each other in a weird way.
Yeah, she's staring at her legs.
Yes. Yeah. Then it kicks in. Yeah. We see Hesh walk by the window, and then she's like, oh, yeah, he's got a 3 o'clock. And then Silvio's having sex in the waiting room. AJ's peeking through a door. All kinds of cool dream stuff. And then, of course, the big reveal that his mom is his therapist. And then Tony wakes up in the bed of his Russian guma and heads home to find young AJ playing Mario Kart. And one of the big memories for me of Sopranos that always stands out when I think of the show is how Tony plays Nintendo 64.
Yes.
Because it's so bad.
He doesn't hit the gas. How is he moving? He just hits the. He just moves the stick, right?
Yeah, he awkwardly holds it in one hand, and yeah, and he's just moving the stick. And it's. I mean, I'm sure for James Gandolfini, I bet just someone told him. They're like, "Oh, you're kind of playing it wrong." He's like, "Yeah, who cares? Doesn't matter."
I'm supposed to be playing it wrong, right? But then his car is moving and he's kind of winning. And I'm like, well, you'd just be standing still, Tony. It's funny because, yeah, I feel like Mario Kart is more part of like cultural knowledge. Like everyone knows you need to hit a button to hit the gas at this point, right? It feels like more or less, more even than Sopranos. Like when you see Mario Kart back then, it might have been like, oh, a video game. And now it's like, well, yeah, it's Mario Kart. Obviously, So, yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying to convince myself that the trigger was the gas, but I don't think that was right for Nintendo 64. I don't think you used the trigger like that for the gas. So,
well, the kid was using it right, hitting the button, so that's how you know. But here's is an interesting thing, by the way. I mean, already talking about the ending, but I don't want to skip over the kid peeking in on him in the dream. And at the last shot of the episode, and they've had very significant last shots throughout, is also, of course, an important exchange of looks between them. And this episode is largely about Junior finding out what Daddy does for a living.
Yes.
And at the same time, Tony is more sort of paranoid about anyone finding out about his therapist. I feel for him it would be worse almost if his kid found out about the therapy than about about him being a mob boss.
Yeah, because he wouldn't be like the tough dad anymore. It'd be like, my dad goes to therapy?
Sorry, what did you say?
No, nothing. It's the bad one. Go ahead.
Tony wins by covering his kid's eyes. You can tell something's not quite right with the kid at this point. Which obviously is also part of, like, he's in some conflict with his friend and so on. That's his whole thing. But first we go and see Christopher get out of the hospital with a comically large neck brace and sunglasses, trying to be incognito, even though he's, like, the most recognizable guy ever.
Yeah.
And he's understandably worried, but his girlfriend, Adriana, thinks he's being paranoid. Like, oh, maybe that's Tony. Maybe Tony's in the trash can and everything. Then they go find a dead body. So I guess she... sees that he wasn't being that paranoid after all.
Yeah, they end up going to Brendan's house because he's like, let's go to Brendan's and get high. Because, yeah, great. Like, he's afraid for his life. He still thinks that Tony is potentially the one after him because he gave Meadow some speed in the previous episode. But, yeah, he needs to go find Brendan and get high. And then she, like, well, the backing up a little bit, she does say that, like, they said you went number two in your pants or something. And, you know, Christopher, like, that's the first hint that we get that word's out. You know, Christopher might be a little bitch because he shit his pants when he thought he was going to be murdered. But, yeah, then they find Brendan shot through the face in his tub. And, yeah, shit just got real.
And I like that, you know, I almost feel it was an exciting line when he was like, let's just go get high with Brendan. You're like, oh, shit, you already know what the next scene is going to be.
Yeah.
But it's still cool to watch it play out with good actors and everything making this come to life, because that just hammers home that consequences are real in this show. It's not like a lot of TV shows where someone gets killed and then, you know, next week, new adventure. This is like escalation that's been going on here.
Yeah, then we cut back to AJ and we get some of that nice, sweet 1999 technology. This episode has a few examples where AJ gets to pull a prank by using the payphone in his school to
hilarious
page his friend, your mom blows. Yeah. I like how they do this because it's similar to what we mentioned in the pilot when Meadows says, it was blah, 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 ski meet tomorrow or whatever, or swim meet tomorrow, and he needed me. So it's kind of this weird shorthand where you just kind of get the weird teenage drama. And with AJ, like, it's immediately kind of picked up that these guys were, like, probably pretty close friends. And you kind of know how that goes if you either go to middle school and then go to high school, then all of a sudden, like, some dude you hung out with all the time, you just don't hang out with anymore. So AJ's pranking him and they get into a fight and the kid's like way bigger than AJ. And it really seems like clearly this kid would whoop his ass. But yeah, they get into a classic school fight where they're just kind of rolling around, and then AJ gets his short shirt torn, and kind of goes from there. But I think we go back to Tony going to Melfi from there.
Yes, we do. He goes to see Melfi, but he sees Silvio go to the dentist, like right opposite his shrink. So he sort of hides in another doctor's office. Who's like, sir, and then he gets even more paranoid because at the start he's already worried about people finding out, of course. And now they have a meeting where he talks about how bad it would be if anyone found out he was going there. And she's like, oh, I thought we got a handle on your narcissism or whatever. But like, he's paranoid because he doesn't know anything about her and like wants a reason to trust her or wants a reason not to trust her, which is what he follows up on later. I did like her line here of like, if he asked personal questions, I'd have to plead the fifth, and they get to have a little fun moment where they're all like, ha ha ha, you're a murderer.
Yeah, because then through most of this episode, it is really Tony looking for a way to stop going to therapy. And yeah, basically he's having these second guesses between his dream, his running with Silvio, and plus probably in general, just the way the type of guy Tony is. I mean, we're on episode 4. We get the impression that it's been like a couple months, but just the way the guy is, he probably would quit something like this pretty easily. So we're starting to see like the roots of that.
Yeah, especially if he's feeling like, I got what I needed out of this. He's tried to quit before, but then, I mean, he realized, this is jumping ahead, but his conclusion in the end is basically what I think you said when we discussed the first episode, that is part of like the structure of the show. Like, he's going to get ideas there, but not use them quite as she intended. Like, obviously, he literally says like, hey, I'm not going to stop. Get a lot of good ideas here, but not in the way she's hoping for, really. Christopher and his girlfriend, they go to Meadow, Tony's daughter, at school. You might call it Meadowland, where she goes to school.
I would.
And yeah, of course. And get a great line. Did Brendan get my poem from Hunter? And we sort of saw there was some sort of weird chemistry between them, and I'm glad that's all we're gonna see of that. But it's just funny to throw in as like an extra stab of like, what the hell are they gonna say in that moment? They just drive off, and like, he's basically squeezing her like, you told her about the meth, right? And she's like, what are you talking about? Of course not. And then he's like, I'm sorry, I'll get you a happy meal. And his girlfriend's like, where are you? Like, what is this? What is your brain?
It's so great because it's classic Christopher when, because he's like hiding. He's like hiding in the back seat, and Adriana's like, oh yeah, hey, you know, hey, we're going to come over. Let me go bring you to see your Uncle Chris or whatever, or Cousin Christopher. And then he immediately jumps out and they like speed away, and he's like, what happened? What did you do? He's just freaking out, and yeah, scares her, squeezing her arm, and
after already squeezing his girlfriend's arm earlier, like, he just loves squeezing women's arms.
And it's becoming clear, I think, once he finds Brendan, but he still maybe thinks Tony might be behind it, but now it seems like maybe not. So of course, maybe we're gonna be thinking Junior from here. But before that, we do cut to AJ, who's trying to kill a bug. This is another scene that always stands out in my mind when I think of this show, because it's such a weird, dumb idea. They were probably like, "What? All right, so what's AJ doing? He's just on his bed with a baseball glove trying to kill a bug."
I mean, that's such a it's such a forgettable scene. My only note on the scene was Carmilla tells Tony's son, I don't even know his name, it's AJ Junior, he needs to pay $40 for the ripped shirt. And I was like, whatever, it's about like, he got it from his grandmother or whatever, he needs to pay the money. I was like, I guess, like, that was the point of the scene. So the bug thing, I barely remembered until you mentioned it.
It only stands out to me because it's so like dumb and bizarre. That's the other why, because it's like, what is he doing? Why is this their decision to like open this scene with? It's forgettable, but that's what makes it memorable, because I just am like, what was the thought process here? Why is AJ still a bug right now?
Well, you know, they do so many good decisions as far as those things that they're due for something that's kind of whatever, I think. I mean, I think the thought process had to be like, well, he's got aggressions and he wants to like kill something. He's like annoyed, but he doesn't know why, and he's trying to kill a bug because. But so he's basically in their mind, it was like fucking Walter White in a fucking stuck in his lab. Gotta get this thing. There's something bugging me, but I don't know what. I'm so tortured. But then his acting is kind of like vloom vloom, so it's not quite on the level.
Yeah, and Carmilla, yeah, is just kind of like, I guess, aloof to, you know, is there like, I guess you would, wouldn't you think if a shirt was torn like that, he got into a fight? Like he does tell her that he got into a fight, right? But then it's kind of like he doesn't want her to do anything about it. He just wants to try to pay the $40 himself. I do like the line where he's like, I'll wash your car. And she's like, you never put any effort into it. So it's like, this has been a thing in the past. And he just did a shitty job. But even though, like, it's not supposed to be about that your car gets a good washing, it's supposed to be about teaching your kid that there are consequences. But I love that her. She's like, nah, we're not going to do that because you don't put any effort.
I forgot what I was going to say, but this scene is very forgettable for me.
Yeah, that's fine. Because then we go to, I believe this is when then Tony's at Green Grove retirement community, not a nursing home, by the way, to visit his mom. And it's, I love it because he brings her favorite macaroons, and you see for a moment that she's very excited.
Yes. Oh, but it's so well acted. Yeah. She's like, she lights up and then like, they're too sweet.
She doesn't want to give him the satisfaction that he did a good thing and something that made her happy. So yeah, she has to make an excuse, and then they get to play up on it again at the end of the scene. Because wait, he just goes there. Yeah. It does seem like in the scene he goes there to be a nice guy and visit his mom, but then we do find out that he is visiting like a scummy detective out front. So that's kind of a nice another level to it. But yeah, they're just kind of chatting, and she starts bringing up the city where they throw mothers throw babies out windows and there are people so dead in the streets and stuff.
Supposed to be a field trip to like the city or whatever, but she's like, no, babies just get thrown out windows there and all these horrible things. And he's like, that hasn't happened in a long time. We're like, always with the babies with you. Yeah. And it's a fun scene. I think the macaroons thing of her lighting up and then like going, that's sort of a, as they often do, like a microcosm of the whole scene, because when you look at the scene as a whole, he's kind of saying, you know, this could be really great for you. You know, all these people around, you don't talk to them, you don't do anything. And he is trying to be a good son and also visit a scummy detective in the parking lot. But that's kind of, they don't have that much of a conflict in this episode, I feel. It's just kind of this passive thing of her being unhappy and him actually trying to do something nice. But obviously he's preoccupied with other things.
Yeah, and then when he does go to leave, he's like, you want me to leave the macaroons? And she does, but she can't tell him that. So she has to be like, leave some out for the crazies.
Yeah.
And I like to think that she's even a little bum that he didn't leave like the whole box. Like, but she just can't give it to him. She can't give him that moment. And even that small victory.
Yeah.
And yes, then we meet Kevin McAllister's dad. I don't know if how big Home Alone was for you as a young lad in Sweden, but Home Alone was a big deal here. And this detective is played by the dad from Home Alone.
I didn't realize that was him, but it was a pretty big deal for me here as well. But I mean, can we assume that it's the same canon then? Is that why Kevin McAllister is the way he is?
Well, that's why his dad's so low. Well, I guess his dad was rich, though.
Yeah.
But maybe this, true. All this is canon. This could be after he blew it all on gambling, apparently, right?
Yeah, just drugs, I guess.
You know what? Because this would make perfect sense, because back then things were good. He's getting paid off by mob families. Like, why would a detective have the house that big and go to France for Christmas?
Yeah, buy 1,500 pizzas. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
A great intro where the camera pans and he's just standing in like out kind of in the open, just pissing in the grass in front of this nice $4,000 a month retirement community.
Yeah, and Tony kind of throws a stone at him or something from the ground. I don't remember, something like that. Yeah, but, you know, we get a handle on their sort of relationship. He wants him to check up on Melfi. But he's a fucking idiot, so he obviously does that wrong, misunderstands everything. But first, we're going to go over to Jackie's deathbed, where he's there mumbling kind of incoherent sentences. Everyone's just standing around. And then Christopher shows up and tells them about Brendan being dead. And now that he knows that it wasn't Tony, everyone correctly assumes that it was Junior, because he didn't shoot himself in the eye, did he? And I like that, of course, he comes in with this big news, and a couple of them start the discussion of like, yeah, but what does it mean if you get shot in the eye? Well, no, if you get shot in the mouth, it means you're a rat, but in the eye, blah, blah, blah. So sort of a side discussion going on.
Yeah, they bring up Mo Green, which is another Godfather character. And I forget, I don't know, I haven't seen The Godfather in a while, so I it almost seems like at the end that they bring up Mo Green, they talk about how he got shot in the eye, but then are they saying no, he wasn't shot in the eye? I don't know, but it's a classic where there's this intense discussion with Christopher, but then Silvio and Pussy and stuff are having this side discussion.
Yeah.
And I also do like that. You assume when Christopher comes in talking all this shit that Christopher's being an idiot, because we always see him kind of being an idiot and overreacting. But I do like that you see glimpses from Silvio and stuff where they're kind of assuming we will go over and kill Uncle Junior. It isn't just assumed that what he's saying is wrong.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. And then even Paulie's I know where Mikey's at right now. But Tony's going to handle it himself. And I love the line where he's keep him here. If he tries to leave, break his other neck.
yeah, because he goes to deal with it, and then we move in on a close up of a staple gun and wonder where that's going to come into play. Oh, yeah. Because he goes to Mikey and
Real quick, when Jackie's mumbling stuff, I have to assume, I haven't seen it yet myself, but for people that don't know, there are conspiracy theory videos on YouTube. I know it's a thing. He mentions the World Trade Center. Yeah. So I assume that's in one of those conspiracy videos where Sopranos was letting us know, because it was 1999. The 9/11 did not happen yet. And here's Jackie on his deathbed, just mumbles World Trade Center. Think about it. All right. That's all I want to say.
Of course. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So Tony goes to deal with Mikey himself, gets the staple gun, and it's pretty sick / fun that these are the moments when we see Tony having a good time. He doesn't care so much. This is his Mario Kart, you know? We saw him try to run over a guy with a real car in episode 1, so of course he's not that excited about fucking Luigi zooming around on banana peels. He's more about the real thing, and part of the real thing for him is fixing people's suits with staples and a traffic a ticket that he got, I guess, that he's stapling to him. And that's all well and good. And then that's almost that's just a little detail. Then he goes to Junior because well, we need to talk. just him getting his aggression out so he can go talk to Junior. And we move into this place where I think we've been in that location before. I'm not 100%, but this is Junior's territory. Yes. Very clearly. His friends sitting around, everyone being nice to him. There's a big guy close to the door. And Junior says that you know, he was waiting for discipline to be handed down, but he had to handle it himself. And he kind of says that Christopher works for him now. And he's and Tony's thinks that's so crazy. So then Junior is I show you my hand and you slap it away. Yep. And it ends with, you know, next time come heavy or not at all, which means bringing a gun. And I guess in a way that's kind of a sign of respect, at least as far as he's saying it. He's not saying come and shoot me, bitch. He's saying respect me as someone you should be afraid of or something like that.
Yeah, basically it's kind of we're getting close to being past words here where you know, things are heating up. And it's weird because, you know, from what we know, at least from these episodes, Junior's still kind of right, because I mean, we saw that Brendan and Christopher robbed one of his trucks and it was kind of an annoying ordeal, and Tony was supposed to handle it, and what did they do? They robbed another truck and then killed somebody. But again, it's just for Tony, it's kind of you stepped out of line, even though I guess the Brendan thing isn't that big of a deal because he's a piece of shit, but then it's still like a weird insult because that's like a connection to Tony's crew. And of course, roughing up Christopher, who is in his crew. So it is interesting, the politics of what you're supposed to react to when you're a mob captain.
Yeah, because when Christopher pops into the hospital room, he's not saying like they took me out and threatened me. Like, he hasn't obviously told Tony that before. I'm not sure when or how it comes to light what's happened to him with the neck brace. I mean, I assume it's mentioned at some point, but we know he doesn't talk to Tony before then because he thinks Tony might have been the one doing it.
Yeah.
So he rushes in and tells him about Brendan. So that's going to be the first communication they've had. So does Tony even know about the threatening stuff? I guess he does.
I think in that scene he does say that. I think that's when he says they took me out to the Meadowlands. He says, or I forget. I thought he does say it as well in that hospital scene.
Yeah, I would assume so. I was there was a lot going on with people talking about being shot in the eyes and so on. So I think I missed that.
Well, it's interesting as well, because when Tony goes to talk to Uncle Junior about this situation, he makes a crack about his Tony putting his mother in the retirement home.
Yeah, an asylum, so, he says.
Yeah, so he's making it. He is making it personal and trying to elevate things in like a tough guy manner. I guess part of it's because it is on his turf, so he has to show like you know, how he runs things there and what have you. So yeah, I mean, it is interesting. Things are coming to a head, and let's see. I mean, who knows? This could be war by the end of the episode, guys.
Yes, and in a small note, but he kind of storms in to the place, but then he walks out real calm, because he says, like, come heavy or not at all. Like, he's choosing to escalate it. And as he expresses later, he's being backed into a corner. He doesn't want a war. And he walks out very calm, even though he's much angrier than when he came in. Because when he came in, it's like, what are you doing? And now it's like, okay, you want me to, like, you want me to do something. You want me to go against you, it feels like, for him.
Yeah, and I love when he walks out, you do see in the background, there's now a big crowd around Mikey, because, I mean, a man was just beaten up and stapled.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah, there's just a quick shot as he walks out. It's like over to the right in the background. You see there's like a big crowd gathered around.
That's cool. So Melfi and her date get pulled over. And this part's really messed up. That cop is clearly a moron. And like, even his partner knows what a moron he's being. Even from the start of the scene, he is sort of says he's, you know, drunk or whatever. Or, oh, I saw him with a weapon, and just start kicking him while he's down. Standard police stuff, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, when we first meet this guy, we know he's like a degenerate. And then Tony's just treating him like shit anyways. And now we see him, he's tailing him. Like, the only thing Tony said is he wanted information on Melfi. So this fool thinks, well, first, yeah, he's having his conversation with his partner or whatever, and the partner makes a crack like, oh, it's a good thing they stopped at that liquor store, huh? And he's like, yeah, that's right. I needed something. And he decides to kind of take the initiative and pull them over. We find out he assumes that Melfi is one of Tony's gumas, apparently, because he tells her, you know, you got prime rib at home, why are you going out for hamburgers? And of course, to her, she's like, what are you talking about? Like, what does that mean? And it's interesting because they're having the discussion in the car before they're pulled over. They're talking about, you know, men and women and how, oh, women are so complicated. What do they want? They want a nice guy who's tough. And it's interesting because I think it does tie in, because we see this guy get, you know, the shit kicked out of him. So he's like not a tough guy. And then when we see him later on, he has PTSD. And it is a weird reinforcement of like, I mean, I don't want to say she doesn't respect him anymore, but it is almost like she doesn't want to date him anymore because he's like this weak, you know, shell of a man now. But you can't really blame him. He did nothing wrong and then was just attacked by the people there you're supposed to trust to protect you, and he has no idea why. But I think that's a weird little interesting meta level. I don't know how purposeful it was, but it's kind of there.
Well, I see, as someone who doesn't have any insight into the future of the show, I see Melfi's love life as a recurring goof where she will just have different suitors, and then through the antics of the mob stuff behind the scenes, one way or another, they'll all get disqualified, and she just buys 18 cats, and that's until the end when, of course, she gets married with Tony Soprano. That's what I assume is going to happen. And it's like every guy I get just gets, like, because even the first guy who was called Sven or something, it was like in the restaurant and he was so all frustrated about not getting a table. And then Tony comes in and gets them a table. Guess what? He's not alpha anymore either to her. So he's out the door. They got this new guy. Now he's all PTSD'd out. So she's got to send him to someone else. And I think the line that killed it was like, oh, maybe you could prescribe something? And she's like, oh, cool. So I'm just a fucking drug dispensary for you. Yep. Great. I'm your date. And she's like, oh, yeah, right, date.
Of course.
So that's over. Yes. And then, okay, we have a scene now where we get to meet some more of the mob capos. They're eating lobsters at the table, like, four of
hilariously
them.
Hilariously huge lobsters, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they all have their bibs on.
Yes. And for me, this is like a whole bunch of new characters, which is super fun. I have to say, I really like how this show in general dishes out information and gradually gets us into the world. Like, this is like we get deeper and more complex understanding of what's going on, because I have never seen these characters, as far as I recall. And at the start of the show, I thought, like, yeah, of course, Tony Soprano, he's the boss of the mob. And then it's like, no, it's kind of a boss, but Junior, they're kind of in a power struggle. But what's Junior's position? Who are these characters? Who's Jackie? Like, now I know those things. And at the same time, they drop in breadcrumbs, like he says, about Junior, he's got New York behind him. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I trust the next episode, I'll find out what that means. And I'm kind of like itching to.
Yes, yeah. And they even have passing references now where they mention the old man, who is like, you know, we glean is like the real. And I think we get a little more details when we have a news report later.
Yeah.
There's like an old man who is kind of the actual boss, but he's basically in jail forever. Mm-hmm. And that's why Jackie was running things. And these are like other captains. But now we're hearing that the other captain is saying, well, maybe New York isn't quite behind Junior the way Junior thinks so. And everyone just assumes that things are going to come to a head and maybe be like a war between the Sopranos to see who runs North Jersey.
Yeah, and like Tony's trying to get one of them to step up. Yeah, and they're all saying like, no, you should do it. And everyone's saying like, no, you should do it. But he doesn't want to do it because that would mean eliminating Junior. And someone suggests like, maybe we can set it up like a council. And another guy's like, the old guys, they set it up as a paramilitary organization. It needs to be like someone at the top. And I mean, it's got to be, I assume, very feudal, by which I mean these people control everything underneath them for themselves, and they're all kind of content with what they have, because none of them want to step up, because stepping up, it means you're in more danger, as has been underlined about the new like death of the mob and their old boss. It's shown even more, he is in prison for life, so it's like not necessarily a super great thing to be the head of everything if you could just be the head of your area or whatever, because none of these four people want to do it, which is kind of the opposite of what you'd expect.
Yes, yeah, because yeah, not only are you dealing with stuff like, you know, Tony and Junior are kind of bickering over who robbed who and is this perceived insult, because you kind of assume that other captains and crews or whatever have little kerfuffles like that, and you got to deal with that. But not only that, you also have, of course, the FBI. They want to take the head off the whole thing, take down the big guy. So that's like extra stress there. A lot of responsibility, which seemingly doesn't have as much payoff from the way they're acting.
Yes. And from large scale to small scale, we're back at the school where another fight breaks out between these two kids. But first, we kind of get to see the friendship that they've talked about. Like, oh, we used to blow up frogs together and you still owe me for the fucking crackers or whatever the fuck. Yeah. But they end up fighting again. And it almost is like it might have gone the other way and they would just be hanging out. But they, I mean, I love their dialogue and stuff. It feels so genuinely like how kids talk to each other, you know, right?
Yes. And I love that, like, after they have when they have the fight, and then what does he say? Like, I can't believe they stopped me from kicking your ass. And it's like, I was kicking your ass. And then some random kid goes, no one won. It was a draw. Like,
Yeah, I also wrote that down. I love the reactions of everyone around them. Nobody won, it was a draw. And like the whole concept of a fight is so different to them because it's like a duel, like it's something you do and then it's settled. Whereas violence in adult life is more like you get pulled over and kicked a bunch of times and then you have PTSD. And for them, it's like, no, this shall determine our social status and blah, blah, blah. We have to do. It's like a ritual almost, and everyone's so psyched.
yeah, and they decide, yeah, it's going to be a fight at the pit, so they can really settle things. But before that, we do see Tony buying some like landscaping stuff for his yard or what have you, and he's trying to buy DDT, which is illegal. But he's like, you know, hey, maybe just look in the back. I meet you in the back, and the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And that guy, by the way, I don't know if you've seen Half Baked. But the clerk there is the dude from Half Baked that's like, fuck you, you're cool, and fuck you. It's a nice little trivia for you.
Okay. What is the stuff he's trying to buy? It's like pesticide or something?
Yeah, I think it's just like a legal, like, because it's bad for the environment, pesticide, where it's just, yeah, because he's trying to sell him some organic good stuff. And then Tony does see the father of, as far as Tony's concerned, AJ's like best friend, basically. He doesn't know all the ins and outs. And we kind of get a glimpse of that when earlier in the episode when they're playing Mario, Tony is kind of like almost like as an afterthought. He remembers, like, oh yeah, like, so how are you, AJ? Like, how are things at school and stuff? Because, you know, what Tony does, he's all caught up in his Uncle Junior situation, his therapy is collapsing. So yeah, but he's got an axe, and as the other father knows, this is Tony Soprano, a man you've seen on TV and you know may have certain connections, and you know their sons are fighting, and you assume Tony's like giving you a message, I guess. And it's
Yeah, he
great.
basically runs away.
It's great because Tony doesn't react what the guy says, because the guy's even like, I don't know how close the boys are anymore. Have you heard anything? And then Tony's just like, yeah, we'll get together, we'll cook us some dogs. Yeah, it'd be fun.
He's having his own conversation like that. I guess that's how, like, I guess that's why he's so alpha and in charge, because he doesn't really care about your side of the conversation. Like, he's having his conversation and you can come along if you want, but either way, we're grilling dogs.
Yeah. And yeah, the guy basically runs away, because who knows what's going to happen here. And then we pick up with Tony back at the house. And I love this idea because we've seen him that he was out buying stuff for landscaping, and then when he comes home, he's got grocery bags. So it's just nice to think that Tony still also runs errands and still goes out and goes like grocery shopping and stuff like that. But yeah, as he's putting stuff away, he kind of has like a mini attack where he starts, you know, breathing heavy and he collapses, but he doesn't pass out. So it's kind of like a little mini anxiety.
And usually when that happens, it's related to whatever's directly happening around him. But I guess it's not at all related to that dad because he doesn't even get what's going on and doesn't even investigate it further, really. He's all up in his own things with Junior.
Yes.
I guess that's why. I guess maybe it doesn't help that someone just runs away from you. It's kind of weird, but more in a sort of dreamlike way. But obviously it's more about what's going on with Junior and everything. And then Carmilla comes in and helps because he's, I mean, to be fair, he's saying that he's going to get stop therapy with his male therapist, everybody, his boy therapist. He's gonna stop going to the man therapist boy. And she like doesn't like that to the point that she's threatening, like she's gonna reevaluate things and stuff like that. And he's like, what is that? Why? Because he obviously feels it makes him feel even worse. And he forgot to take his pill. So he's gonna get prescribed even more. So then we move into therapy where he's talking about feeling like he's backed into a corner by his uncle, and she comes up with the suggestion of giving the elderly the illusion of control because they're like children and need to feel like they're in charge.
Yes, they're testing the boundaries. She recommends a book, And he's just kind of like, I can't do that. I go right out. I try to read it. It's no good. And yeah, because Tony's talking about how his uncle feels like he's got him feeling like he's in a box because he's basically it's similar to with the whole Artie Bucco restaurant thing. And that's another thing that did start this Uncle Junior and Tony rivalry they had. Like it started with him kind of going behind his back and blowing up a restaurant so he couldn't kill a guy he wanted to kill. And then, of course, you had the trucking situation. But we've known from then that Tony does have this love for Uncle Junior. And it's, you know, in a similar respect to his relationship with his mother. Mm-hmm. And it's no secret that then they also talk. So they have this budding rivalry. So Tony doesn't want to have to go out and kill the man. They used to play catch all the time.
Yes.
And then Melfi, in her infinite wisdom, starts giving him tips. Like, here's what you do. You let them think that they're running things. You let them think that they have more control than they do. And you start to just see the wheels turning in Tony's head as maybe he can make something happen.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of Breaking Bad whenever Walter White is, like, teaching a class or talking to his son about something and it makes him realize something that helps him kill more people later. And it's like, well, that wasn't the point of like your couples therapy, or that wasn't the point of the speaking pillow. Like trying to, I figured out I really want to cook meth. Like that wasn't the goal there, but hey, whatever works for you. So Christopher
Before I was going to say, just to tag on what you're saying, the nice side of it is that even though we're only four episodes in and we're seeing Tony use things he's learned in therapy for his criminal activities, the other side of it is we've seen him try to use things from therapy and fail like miserably. So, but given they were more minor, just him trying to say stuff he heard to sound smart. But I like that we've seen a little bit of both.
Yes. So then Christopher goes to pick up money from Yo-Yo, and I only know his name. I mean, he has a yo-yo that's very prevalent, and he like flips it down as he's coming up to talk to him. But then I see in the subtitles, like, because they're closed caption, and it's like Yo-Yo grunts when he's kicking him or something. I'm like, his name is Yo-Yo? Cool.
I think Chris says it later on too when he tells the story of how we went to go pick up.
Right.
It's like Yo-Yo Mendez or something like that. And I don't know how, one other quick thing with the Melfi, she does decide to give him Xanax for a little while. And we all know Xanax now, like Xanax is a big, at least here in the States, we have an opioid crisis and everyone loves Xanax and rappers are dying. But, I just wanted to call that out because I feel like no one knew what Xanax was then. It was just this interesting thing they brought up.
Oh, I was going to say I didn't know about that, but then I've heard of something called a Xan Nightmare, which I believe is short for Xanax. So yeah, it makes sense. The fight, it doesn't happen. Money is handed over instead. And I wonder if he talked to his dad or what. What do you think?
Yeah, I assume it's definitely his dad. Went to him and said, like, probably was just something like, don't be... Or what's going on with you and Anthony Soprano, or I don't want you hanging out with Anthony Soprano, whatever it might have been.
Or he said, like, Tony Soprano came at me with an axe.
He probably got the word out that there was this fight over the $40. So he's like, no, here's $40. You give it. You do not fight him. You give him.
Yeah, I think he did have it in like even cash as well. So he probably got it directly from his dad. That makes sense.
And then AJ's friend. What does his friend say before the fight that made me laugh, though? He offers him, like, gum or something? Like, something weird. Ah, shit. I wish I noted it. Because, like, he has that little friend that's always, like, with him that's, like, rooting him on. But he offers him something, and then AJ's like, shut up. But then at the end, he's the one that's like, you did it. You scared him away. And then another kid's like, oh, yeah, real scared of you, because everyone seems to know the reality of AJ's life better than AJ does.
Yes. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Cause he did say something weird there.
If you're checking real quick, we did mention it, but Christopher does beat the shit out of Yo-Yo Mendez or whatever his name is. And he chokes him with his yo-yo, of course, in poetic fashion. And cause Yo-Yo also brings up that he maybe
I hear you shit your pants. Like, great thing to bring up.
It ends with Christopher being like, and that didn't happen, what you said. Like, he wouldn't even say it. Like, he wouldn't even say what it was.
Oh, he's so embarrassed. Of course he wants the bazookas. Well, he says, like, sweep kick and steamroll, the game is over. Like, giving him fight advice. And then he's like, all you're doing is making me nervous. And then he's like, want a nitro bar? And he's like, would you shut the fuck up?
It was. A nitro bar.
What is a nitro bar?
I don't even know what that is. I assume it's like a protein bar.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Like if he just now decided to have I'm looking up real quick. Yeah, it's basically a protein bar. Like if he just now decided to have one real quick before the fight, it would have made him tougher or more energetic or something.
I mean, AJ's not the sharpest pen in the pencil case, I guess, or pen case, but I mean he knows that's not gonna help. He's like, shut up, I'm fucking trying to concentrate here. The fight doesn't happen, and then we get the scene where Jackie dies and you find out on the news. And it's genuinely sad, and then a stripper goes, I'll never forget where I was today.
Oh, it's like hilarious. And the camera hangs on her for a moment too, like a beat after she says it.
Yeah, because she does like a cross herself, and she's all topless, of course. So that kind of puts a weird comedic twist on it, but it is still genuinely sad. And the timing's really bad because Christopher storms in, and he's like saying, "How did you hear what happened?" And he's like, "Yeah." And at first, I thought Christopher was being such a dumbass that he's like, "You heard about Yo-Yo? Okay, let's go." Like, I really thought that was it, and it was gonna be a comedic thing of like, "What? Jackie's dead?" But no, he is. He does know that, and he does. He makes it then the point being they're moving in, like they're taking this opportunity to move in. We gotta go in with the bazookas. It's the clip from the beginning, everyone.
Yes. Scarface final scene, fucking bazookas under each shoulder. Say hello to my little friend. Such a dramatic, classic Christopher thing to do. Mm-hmm. And again, though, I like that. Again, to the crew, that's still very much an option. They're still thinking the same thing, like, well, maybe that is what we need to do to take care of the junior situation. But then Christopher has to push it extra, kind of like he did in the pilot where Tony apologizes, but then Christopher keeps going because then Christopher has to be like, I have to question your leadership or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's finally what sets Tony off even more, where he has to choke him a bit through his neck brace and tell him, you know, you're lucky a man I love died today.
Yes. and he's like, I mean, for them, that's the only option. Like, they're not thinking outside the box like our boy Tony, who's like new and innovative strategies bubbling up in his head for the new era of mobbing. They're like, well, you know, he is moving in, and like, what else are we gonna do?
Tony is reading the book at the beginning. This scene, he's reading the like how to care for the elderly, or like how to work with the elderly, or something like that.
Yeah, and he's not on the first page, but he's not like a long way through it either. I'm sure he didn't read, unless it's in the next episode, I'm gonna guess he didn't read more of that, but he did kind of get what he needed out of that, because this is where he goes to. I mean, he goes to junior here, right? Or is
yes,
it...
yeah. Like yeah, he yeah. leaves the Bing because again, he leaves similar to the hospital. He kind of goes in himself, and he tells them to like stay there. And I think that's when they say, "There goes junior" or something like that. They assume Tony's going to go in and take him out. But he leaves and goes to confront him again. He does have his gun ready, like Junior said, to come in. You come in heavy. But he comes in, you're just letting him know like, hey, I'm here to talk or whatever. And I like how this scene plays out because Junior is, he assumes, like, I guess like Tony's crew assumes that here it is, this is where we're going to start a war, because he's kind of giving him like one word answers. He's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And then Tony surprises him with the, like, you know, Sprana's been waiting for a long time to take the reins, and, you know, I want it to be you. And then kind of all the tension goes away because Junior just, he wants that moment. He wants just to be told he's the boss. And kind of in a nice parallel to Olivia's macaroons, where she won't give Tony the satisfaction of being like, oh, thank you for bringing my favorite macaroons. Tony's like, fine, I'll just tell you you're the boss. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a great scene. We see it coming, of course, or I mean, you already knew, but I mean, it's obvious because of the Melfi talk. That doesn't make it any less satisfying. It's a great scene, and it's a great move as well. And we get it kind of further explained in the funeral later. But I mean, it's just great in general to see them stand up and like, look at this guy, and like shadow boxing each other and like hugging and everything. And then Tony says like, you know, but I can't lose face, so you got to give me this. I don't even know what he's talking about, but I'm going to find out more about that in the next episodes as well. So he asks for something. He gets like a union seat or whatever it is, because I remember them vaguely talking about, no, he has the union seat, so that's important. So he gets something out of it. And then, of course, he has all the other capos on his side anyway. So, like, that's the thing. I'm not sure, because they say Junior has New York behind him, and they're New Jersey, obviously, but I don't know how everything connects. But either way, when we get to the ending, we definitely get the gist that Tony's going to run everything. And actually, this is a great move, because we get to have a figurehead. And guess who the FBI is taking pictures of? It's not Tony Soprano. It would be terrible for Tony Soprano if he was the one sitting there and everyone's kissing his freaking ring. And none of them want that. Junior wants that. Why not let him have it?
Yeah, it really shows that it's like such a genius move. And Tony gets union seat, and I think something else he mentions, which to the other captains, they're like, you got this, like, oh my god. And as Tony points out, like, you know, Junior doesn't know what we were kicking up to Jackie, so they could even maybe make some changes on how much money they usually kick back. So it's like, it's good for everyone. But Tony still has to kick it in, like, I love that man. Like, you know, that's my Uncle June. But he's still kind of like, hopefully the FBI gets a good shot of him.
Yeah, get his good side. And, I mean, we jumped over it, so I'll move back to where the Soprano kids share information, because AJ comes into Meadow's room, takes off his shoes, and is like, what they did, they said, like, yeah, they're real scared of you. And she's like, oh, you're so naive. And we get the second part of the 90s thing, where we get to see the coolest website that was ever made. I did screen cap it. Let me pull it up real quick.
Like a classic GeoCities site. What's the title of it? It's just kind of like Mafia Families,
it's
or Mob.
MOB website, megabytes of bad guys. Or bad guy, it says, welcome to the hottest mob website. Visit the Sleeps with the Fishes report, your insider's guide on who's in and who's out in today's La Cosa Nostra.
And yeah, she even goes as far as printing it out for him so he can read it.
Like you do. Printing out the web browser window as well, which I don't think even back then it would print the content of the website, frame, but whatever. You get some nice graphics of a gun shooting blood and the bullet moving across the screen. It's real sort of construction, under construction GIF stuff going on here. But yeah, he's basically educated on what his family does.
Yeah, because even before that, when she's like, yeah, what do you know any other garbage men that live in a house like this? And he's like, yeah, Uncle Jackie.
Yeah, Kevin McAllister's house. They're just a regular police working class family, too.
And it's like, oh, why do we call him our uncle, even though he's not related? Even though I feel like that's something other people do. If like your dad's best friend, you might be like, oh, that's Uncle whoever. But just kind of laying it out. It is nice to see this poor little AJ's like mind and world shattered.
Yeah.
Picking up like the reality of it all. And we'd already mentioned that we do cut with the scene with Melfi and her date with his PTSD. We kind of went over that already. But we do see a moment before the funeral where Melfi's distracted in her therapy session and kind of opens up a little bit to Tony. Because when we do see the detective telling Tony like the information on Melfi, he does neglect to include the part about him beating up the guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't tell him that part. We also do learn in that scene that Melfi also sees a therapist, which is kind of a nice, interesting meta level. Like, can you trust your therapist if they're also in therapy?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's the, at least it's here, I guess, in the, I don't know, I would assume the U.S., that's kind of the rule. Like, you have to see a therapist if you're a therapist. So, yes. But, and he's like, oh, don't worry, she doesn't date anyone except this schmuck or whatever, schmucko. Yeah. And Tony's like, yeah, whatever. Like, tell me about the thing, because he thinks that... the Guma situation, as you said, but no. And he's like, fucking moron. And she's like, what? And he's like, oh, he just sounds like a fucking moron, of course.
And then of course we get into Jackie Schreiner, like we were talking about, where we learn about kind of what Tony has manipulated here with giving Junior the illusion of control. And it plays out so well with AJ. And even though he's like a little kid, and they really got him to give like the perfect look of a kid who's never going to look at his dad the same way again.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we started with them having like an innocent Mario Kart game at the beginning where, you know, we get the sense in that first scene that it's pretty late. 'Cause that's why even Tony's like, why don't you have school tomorrow or something? Mm-hmm. And he just says some like weird excuse of like, oh, you know, a machine went down at sanitation or what have you. But yeah. Now it's like, no, you're not going to ever like believe your dad when he has this weird story of coming in at like 2 a.m. while you're playing video games. And then Meadow has to rub it in a little bit with her look. Yeah. I love the way it all plays out and with the music, and they're doing such cliche mafia like leading in with the like telling
slow
a quick
motion.
Yeah. It's so great. And then, noticing the FBI.
Yeah, and that's great because Junior, he looks really pompous. Like, his suit doesn't, it almost looks too big for him or something. And he's all dressed up and gets to wear the suit and the hat, and everyone comes to, like, pay their respect to him. But then we see, like, the little lean in to whisper, and Tony's the one actually making plans with the other people there. They're the ones saying what a genius he is, but actually, like, meaning it and not just blowing smoke up his ass. Like, that's the actual situation going on. So it's a perfect situation for him, because he's figured out another way. Like, this is the equivalent of going to call from a payphone instead of calling from your home phone. Junior is their home phone, or I don't know where the metaphor is going, but you get what I'm saying.
I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And situation. I love, the way the cemetery's set up, where it's like in the middle of the city, kind of. I guess it's just, I've been to Jersey a few times, but it's such a perfect Jersey thing where it just seems like the freeway's right there. And then you're standing in a cemetery, like everything comes together really well. So, I mean, of course, it's the Sopranos. Of course it does.
Yes. I that does wrap up the episode. We end on his look. I wanted to mention about their conflict, him and his friend. I feel like, you know, the bully archetype is so, it's a cliche for a reason because it's very useful. But this is an example of doing something like that, but it's better because... usually in a like sequence like this would be like, oh, some kid's bullying me at school or whatever. But he's actually the one picking on this guy who used to be his friend. But as you said, he's bigger than him. And they don't really want to fight, but it kind of just pans out that way because they both have weird frustrations and things going on. And there's actually a relationship between these two characters. And we wouldn't usually see that. The relationship would be like, he's the guy bullying me. And yeah. Most conflicts in real life are not with people you have no relationship or past with at all. Like, most conflicts, like we see with Junior and Tony, like, there's some actual background there. And it's kind of funny how it does parallel that he's having his little conflict on that level. And then we have the larger conflict, of course, with Junior and Tony. And we used to be friends a long time ago, and so on.
Yes, no, absolutely. And it's kind of another great example, like only a few episodes in, of how they juggle and kind of make them seem almost equal, these like greater than reality situations of life and death, but then these like weird suburban like counterparts to them.
Yeah.
And it's just something that they get better with as the show goes on. Small notes, next week's episode, not to set any higher expectations, but it's one of the episodes that's considered like where they really nailed their footing. It's a highly touted episode.
Shit. Well, I mean, every time we watch an episode, I've been watching them on Sundays, and we do these live streams on Sundays. If you want to join in at youtube.com/showswhatyouknow, or of course you can get the podcast on the usual ways by just searching for it on your podcatcher. But I've been watching it on Sundays, and I always want to watch the next one right afterwards. And a lot of the shows we talk about don't have that feeling. It would actually work better for me if we went week to week on a show I wasn't as into, because every week I'm like, okay, I gotta wait another week. Or I might watch it. Right now I feel like I might watch it like tonight, but then it's gonna be harder in the end. So we'll see. That sounds promising, what you're describing anyway.
Well, that's good. You're getting that itch. Right. We're only a few episodes in. You're only a little 4 years old right now, on your way to turning 86 eventually.
Yeah. One day I'll be a junior, a person of a bygone age, a relic I shall be at that point. That's so great.
I was just going to say, if you're listening on the Shows What You Know feed, please seek out our Cut to Black feed, because eventually we will just move everything over to that, probably when season one's done. And if you're listening on the Cut to Black feed, check out our Shows What You Know feed, where we also discuss other TV shows. That's right. We got a great business going on. I let Jacob think he runs things, but secretly I run things.
Yes, of course. And I mean, if you're on the Shows Which You Know feed, you are going to get an episode about Altered Carbon. And if you're on the live stream, we're going to record that and stream that in just a few moments. So in that case, you should sit tight, because we're going to get back and talk about that right in a few moments. But until then, there's one more thing, Jim.
Oh, what's that?
Cut to Black.